Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Lord of the Harvest Christian Fellowship. Those of you here and those of you in the live stream, if we can stand for the reading of the word. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, the Messiah, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Lord, we invoke the Holy Spirit this morning. Holy Spirit, come into our midst to magnify your presence, to fill us up with the love of the Father, to release super abounding grace, to glorify the name of the Lord, to release the gifts of the Spirit and to awaken your people to your marvelous work in Christ. Holy Spirit, send healing, Lord. Holy Spirit, send deliverance to break chains, oh God. Lord, we pray for healing, Lord, from mental illness, Lord. We pray for healing from addiction, Lord. Father, we pray that you would send a teaching anointing to disciple your people, Father. Do these things in our midst mightily and powerfully. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen.
Yes, Lord. That's our heart cry. That we want more of you. We never want to come back, do we? Once you're in his presence, we just don't want to be moved. I'm going to share a very brief word because Pastor Janine's got the word today, and I know she's anxious, and I'm not long-winded anyway, but if you turn to Matthew 13, you know the parable of the sower and the seed. I'm going to just give you my twist on it that I believe the Lord gave me driving in my car yesterday and just thinking about, I've been in Matthew a lot. hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, we just want to stay in your presence this morning, Lord. There's nothing else matters but you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for the worship, Lord, that we're able to enter into your presence and give you your rightful due, for you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, just anoint this word as it spoke to me that it would speak to others. So If we read the parable of the sower, a sower went out to sow, verse 3, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Lord, we want to hear what you have to say this morning. And of course, the disciples ask him why he speaks in parables, and you drop down to the 18th verse, we'll read his explanation. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. And as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it, and then he indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. The Lord really ministered to me as I was meditating on this. He just said, this parable applies to all of us in one way or another. And so today, as we prepare for communion, those of you at home, those of you here, it's a time to allow the Holy Spirit to bring our hearts before him, okay? So as all these different issues apply, if something applies to you this morning, the Lord wants to cleanse, renew, restore, and redeem. So right now, I just say, enemy, you have no room in here for shame, for condemnation, or anything, but the words of life bring life and life renewed. So the first seed, I looked at it like it just got dropped. You know, the sower was getting ready to sow seed, but his basket was too full, whatever. He was fumbling with his hands, and some was dropped. How many of us have had the word of God casually dropped in our presence long before we gave our heart to him? Says the birds came and snatched it. Well, the enemy does come when it finds no root. And I myself was raised Catholic, went to Catholic school. I was an altar boy. I was president of the altar boys. My mother was the church lady for 68 years. Truth. She sewed all the priest's vestments. She was a seamstress. She starched all the altar cloths every week, did all the landscaping, set up the tables for banquets. And during her funeral, they had her chair just below the altar in front of all the pews. That's where my mother sat. She was the church lady. When I was 15, I'll share this briefly, I was sitting next to her in our Catholic church in Hazel Park, and above the altar, they had a 6-foot-1-inch bloodied thorn crowned Jesus hanging on a cross. And at 15 years old, I turned to my mother and I said, why do they have that? He's not there. And you have to look at it every week. And it's that mea culpa, mea culpa, mea, you know. And then I turned to my left, and there was, they call them novena candles. There's all these rows of candles, and there's this little old lady lighting candles. And so I'm looking at that, I'm just frustrated. And I turned, I said, what's she doing? My mother said, well, she's lighting candles, praying people from purgatory into heaven. I went, he finished it all and he's not there anymore, yet I got to depend on some old elderly woman to remember my name to get me out of purgatory, which I don't believe in anyway. I was frustrated. To me, that's the seeds that fall out of the basket. And the birds that the enemy sends just snatch them away. I stopped going to church that day. I was 15. It didn't make sense to me. So the loose seed, I just declare to be diligent and to persevere, to be not only hearers, but to understand and to walk in it. This to me speaks of what I saw that day at 15 was religiosity. It's never going to happen. So we have to continually beat our breast and hope that one day will come that we'll get out of purgatory when we've repented enough for ourselves. I mean, it didn't make sense to me. To hear the word, to be diligent before the enemy comes and that spirit of religion snatches it away. That happened to me. The next one is rocky ground. This one finds a way for someone to leave the body of Christ. Why do people leave? We've experienced it. They get offended. That rock, that hardness. They get offended by Christ. They get offended by the leaders. They get offended by something said or shared, or they're disciplined. Nobody likes to be disciplined. But when that rock is hard, and it speaks of somebody's heart, they leave. They get offended and they leave. They feel that they're picked on, persecuted. It happens, especially in this hour. Then there's the thorns. I thought about thorns, and this always struck me as pain. Did you ever get pricked by a thorn? Man, it hurts. Especially in the fingers. You know, we have 100 nerves per square inch in our fingertips. That's why paper cuts hurt so bad, and that we have so many nerves. But when I thought about thorns, I thought of two things. I thought of pain, trauma, and distance. Thorns, you keep your distance. You don't want to get too close. We carry pain and trauma, many of us. And that creates a distance with the Lord. It's unfair. The devil doesn't play fair. He kicks you when you're down. We're all experiencing that in one form or another, some more than others. And it says that, you know, the cares of the rich, you know, the world and the riches and all that. I didn't really dwell on that one. All I saw was the world and its ways allow and keep that pain in place. It justifies the pain. Oh, you should feel the way you feel. It's there, you know. And it keeps you in that place of distance from the Lord, not allowing the Holy Spirit to touch and heal those areas of pain. I love how Jesus said, "Do you desire to be well?" There are a lot of people, oh, pastor's favorite thing, oh, you just don't understand. Really? God is so great, he doesn't understand. But that question, do you desire to be well? He's able, but many of us, we make pets out of our pain, you know, keep them right here. Pet them once in a while, comfortable place, we get comfortable. To relieve pain is difficult, and in and of itself is painful at times to let it go. But the beauty, and I just shared this with this woman that I'm taking care of currently, and she's very much in pain. It becomes comfortable to let it go and to be healed. The memory remains. But how many of us know the memory's there, but the pain's gone, right? That's why we can speak to others the goodness and the greatness of the Lord and his healing power. And of course, the good soil speaks of discipleship. You hear the word, we're taught the word, which we are so just grateful for our house here for the teaching that goes forth to create discipleship. And then we walk it out, picking up our cross daily and following Jesus is difficult. It's not easy. My wife and I have been watching The Chosen. Many of you have watched it or are watching it. And excuse me. One of the aspects I love about that, and a lot of it's Hollywood, and it's some of it they embellish, and it's not all, you know, scriptural, but I love the disciples. They're nimnods, they're bucketheads. They don't get it, and they struggle, yet they follow. Many of us are in that place. We struggle, but we continue to follow. Why? Because he has the words of eternal life. Amen? So, get your elements. And Lord, this morning, as we partake of your bread, your body, Lord, wherever we are landing in that parable, Lord, send your healing power this morning, Lord. We know your spirit is bringing deliverance, healing, authority. Your word is bringing authority. Lord, I am constantly reminded that you said it is finished. Why do we keep going back? Help us, Lord, as we partake, to renew and restore us, Lord, to move forward. Help us this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Go ahead and partake. Lord, we don't want to just be hearers, not understanding. We don't want to just be surface Christians, Lord, that do things in a religious way because we think it pleases you. But Lord, we want the life that you gave us when you shed your blood. Give us that life, Father. I ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Partake.
Good morning, everyone. It's such a wonderful privilege to speak the Word of God to you today. But I've been wanting to do this for a long time now, so I'm going to do it. And we're going to start. In my Why Jesus class, you start with me, and you all can stand up. And we're going to sing just a brief song.
I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. Well, I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. Well, I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, it's a mighty good thing to keep your mind staying on Jesus. It's a mighty good thing to keep your mind staying on Jesus. It's a mighty good thing to keep your mind staying on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, hallelujah,
hallelujah. Now you can sing that anytime you want when you're at home. You don't need a worship team or nothing, right? All right, praise God. Well, Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you so very much
for your living word, for your Holy Spirit. Now we ask, Lord, and invoke your anointing on the message and on those who receive the message, Lord, in Jesus' holy, holy name. Well, we're going to concentrate on just a couple verses, and I'm going to prophetically speak into these verses in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. And I don't know if they'll get it up on the screen or not, but I do want to read that. Yeah, if you can. Just because I like that version better than the King James version. The New King James is good. Okay, there we go. I'm going to read it right from here. Now he, this is Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 long, long years. And she was bent over and could in no way, it was impossible, in no way could raise herself up. Now, Luke here, we've been studying the Gospel of Luke in our Wednesday class. Luke here mentions the seriousness and the length of her suffering to highlight the greatness of the cure. Now, remember, when we are having difficulties, God is going to change the outcome of that by working something in you that is better than the very thing that you struggled with. Amen. He will highlight the greatness of his work through whatever it is you are going through. Now, I believe, I really do believe this, that today Jesus is going to cure you all as well.
Amen.
He can.
Yeah.
And he's willing. Just open up your hearts like we sang today. Those were awesome. Great job, Allie. That was just really good worship. And it was so in tune with the Holy Spirit too. So, in this couple verses, we see that to be bent was an inclination, having an angle, could even mean corrupt in some areas, but it was to shape or bend something that is originally straight in half. For some, you're bent where you are bent from being straight, it's generational. For addictions, same thing. For some who struggle with oppression or areas in their life as a result of trauma or other sin or their own sin or consequence, they become and you become bent. Now we all have been healed. We are all becoming healed, and we shall be ultimately healed. It's that already not yet dynamic that Jesus talks about. Okay? Now all of us have had some trauma in our life. It could be physical. It could be spiritual, as we see in this woman's situation. She had a spirit, a demonic spirit of infirmity. For some, it may be
a sin-dominating area in your life, whether it be fear, anger, self-pity, pride, depression, fill in the blank. What I want you to do today, as you're listening to me, I want you really to be listening to the Holy Spirit, because I believe the Holy Spirit is going to show you each something that he wants to free you from, that he wants to loose you from. So pay attention to what God reveals. But here we see in this woman's condition, she's addressed, and Jesus says, later on, be loosed, which is an indication of it being demonic in nature. If it had been something else, he may have said, be healed, right? If it was an injury or a wound, be healed. And you know, Pastor Philip was saying something earlier, too. The devil does not play fair, guys. You want to know something? What God has been doing these last couple weeks, I believe, has led up to some of what I'm speaking today. And you can look around you and see people are not here, because I do believe that the devil got in the way. Yeah. I do. Amen. So don't be discouraged by looking around. Just concentrate on what God is going to reveal to you today. Okay? And whatever he reveals to you, you're going to be able to bless somebody else with that story of overcoming and victory, of healing, of being free from that oppression. So, we see that her deformity is, in fact, demonic in nature. Now, there are many ways that we can be damaged and deformed. Not just in our bodies. Our souls can be really bent over. We can be sick in our spirits. It's true. We can struggle with mental oppression when it comes to depression or. Here's a good one, and I think almost 99% of our culture suffers from anxiety. Yeah. Anxiety in the heart of man weighs it down. Yeah, that's right. But a good word makes it glad. Yeah. So here I am to tell you today, this is a good word from God, because you are going to get free from anxiety. Yeah. Yeah. Now, her disease was called camptocormia, or bent spine disease. She was not merely just hunched over, but she was bent in half. Whew. I want you to think about these things in spiritual terms, okay? Now, involuntary bending is called dystonia. Dystonia, of which I am very well acquainted with. It's abnormal muscle tone resulting in spasms and excruciating pain. Now here, this lady, this woman, was in that kind of condition where her body was literally bent in half. And she suffered spasms and muscle tone being constricted. And if you've ever had a Charlie horse, oh, they hurt, man. Imagine that in your entire body. When we think of unbelievers, that's kind of the case with them. They are bound by Satan and the world. They're lost. And they are bent to this kind of degree.
But we all have areas, and that's where I want to get to today, where God sees and wants to set you free. So, you guys know, for most of you know, my grandson has a fatal disease. And he suffers from this very condition, this dystonia. And when he originally was experienced the beginning of this disease, he would have spasms on his whole body, hand, foot. And I would lay in the hospital bed at the foot of his bed, and I would massage his foot and then his other foot and then his hand, and that went on. No sleep. The pain was so excruciating. There is a pain in your souls that is that excruciating, where you have spasms, right? Where you tighten up and where you find it's impossible to get straight. You cannot do it outside of the miraculous intervention of Christ. So, as we talk about this kind of pain, literally, in my personal life, when my grandson Jackie would have this in the beginning, he has since had a pain pump implanted in him that delivers pain to bring relief on a continual basis. But honest to God, he would be on his back like this, and his whole entire hips and legs would touch the top of his head. It was the weirdest thing to look at. Now, this woman was just like that, only she was on her feet, okay? So, when we think of her, we need to think about ourselves. Which ways are we bent? Which things that we find almost impossible to overcome? Jesus wants to cure you right in that place. The places where you're bound or bent, where all you see, like this woman, all she saw was hopelessness, despair, rejection, shame, abandonment. Fill in the blank. Now, if we know Jesus, we are not in that exact condition, but we have places in us where we have some of these things going on. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Everyone, stand up. If you're able, stand up. Let's see. Bashar, come on forward. I want you to touch your toes, if you can. Just bend over. Yep, touch your toes. Get as far as you can. Now, I want you to walk. Shuffle forward, Bashar. This is how this woman walked. You can get up now. Thank you. Thank you, dear. What do you see when you do that? Nothing. The ground. In this case, and with this woman, dirt. When you're looking at what you are bent under, you are seeing what? Let the Holy Spirit show you. Hopelessness, anger, fear, addiction, secret things, gambling, pornography, whatever. Things that bind you.
alcohol, whatever. We know we have some in our midst that need to be delivered. Amen. So, if you can imagine this woman, you can sit down, sorry. And you got your Christian calisthenics in for today. This woman was unable to look up. Her world was totally absent of beauty. No sun, no moon, no stars, no flowers, no smiles, and no faces. Not even Jesus' face. All she could see was her feet in the ground there. Can you imagine, Bashar, can you imagine eating your meal there on the ground? Her life really was absent of what we take for granted. And the thing of it is, she wasn't responsible for her plight, but she was punished for it. You may not be responsible for what happened to you, or the areas that you struggle with, or the areas that you're bent in, but you're punished for it. The devil will condemn you. You're not worthy. You're not lovable. You're rejected. Look, these are things that are little things that hinder you sometimes. They're not, you don't walk around like Eeyore, I'm so depressed. No, as a believer, we don't. But what I'm saying is God wants to go really deep in your life in this hour. Really to the core of the things that hinder you from walking upright totally and in total freedom. Can you imagine that you are unable to partake of social community events? She wasn't. Religious events? Nope. Unclean. Can you imagine her condition kept her from God? And in the areas where we are bent, it keeps us from God. It keeps us from Him. But I have good news. I got good news. He has been satisfied in Christ Jesus for that condition or whatever it is you are struggling with. So can you imagine what sort of life that this woman shuffled home to? How much perseverance and pain she endured? I mean, just going to the temple week to week, shuffle. It would be hard, right, Bashar, to shuffle all the way down the block like that? I mean, we don't know how far she was from temple, but whatever the distance, it's hard to even go a few feet, right? Okay. But on this day, Jesus, she called out to him. She heard him, as you see in the scriptures, call her to him. She could only hear him. But he, Jesus, he saw her just as he sees you. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, we're going to do something specific with the Lord. I think at the end of things, I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit show you some stuff and we'll get right, okay? In Isaiah 61, we see Jesus fulfilled this very thing that he
did with this woman. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. We're captive. She was captive. She was brokenhearted. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. This word is alive today for you. Jesus wants to open your prison doors and set you free. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. You know, God wants to have vengeance on the injustice that has been done to you. And it's His job, not yours. Don't sin further by being resentful and bitter. Just release it to Him. He has come to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, beauty for the dirt and the junk that you see at your feet, shuffling back and forth, imprisoned in bondage to whatever it is the Holy Spirit reveals to you today. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for grief and mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, Jesus, He wants to give you a new wardrobe. He wants to put on you the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus. He wants to put on you the robe that the Father gave to the prodigal, the robe of honor. That we, that they, may be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Well, Lord, 30, 60, 100-fold, we want to be the planting of the Lord. We want to be the tree planted by the river of life as we see it in Psalm 1. In this story, we see Isaiah 61, that word fulfilled in Jesus Christ as He did this miraculous intervention with this woman. Jesus is calling you to stand up, to rise up. I believe today, when you deal with whatever the Holy Spirit impresses upon you, it will happen like with her immediately. You will rise up. It won't be a process. It'll be done. When God created the world in Genesis, He rested on the seventh day, right? He rested. He wasn't tired. He was satisfied with what was accomplished. And I want to tell you that in the beloved Son of Man, in Jesus Christ, that God's holy heart is satisfied in every way in Christ Jesus for you. You don't have to white knuckle it. You don't have to keep trying and trying and trying and trying. You need to just receive the grace of God. And He is willing. I'm going to end with reading and closing with Romans 5, verse 1. I think it's through 3. God the Father is satisfied We have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. We're going to stand today. We're going to stand today. Now, Holy Spirit, I trust that you are speaking to everyone here. And I ask, Lord, that you just pour out your lovely, lovely grace. Lord Jesus, that you would touch every bent area in the souls of your people. Also, Lord, touch their bodies as well. Touch their spirits. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as a body, we declare hopelessness and futility to be evicted in the power of Jesus Christ right now. We declare fear, anger, unbelief, depression, oppression to be served an eviction notice right now, separated from the souls of your people in the name of Jesus. Lord, for any other condition that opposes freedom in Christ Jesus, we ask for your mighty power of deliverance to come now and to set your people free. And we extend our faith as this woman responded to your voice. Lord, she activated her faith. She heard you. And then, like her, may we all see you, Jesus. We would see you, Jesus. We want to see you, Jesus. Now just take a few moments and deal with the Holy Spirit and be blessed. Amen.